I want to invite you at this time to take your Bibles out and open them up to Ephesians chapter 6 and place your bookmark there, if you have a bookmark, to Ephesians chapter 6. For a few moments this morning, we want to talk about this idea of being on the job. The things that I preach and teach are things that I believe to be truths from God's Word. But I'm not the final standard of authority. The Lord said in John 12:48 that in the last days His words will judge us. And so we each bear an individual personal responsibility to make sure we are not deceived. And you can do that by following along this morning in your Bibles with the lesson. Check me out. I know the Apostle Paul needed to be checked out in Acts 17:11. Mike Pickford certainly needs to be checked out. If you feel that I've taught the truth this morning, apply these truths to your life so that you may faithfully serve the Lord. On the other hand, if you feel I've taught something to be an error, something to be false, approach me in a way you would want to be approached, and you and I'll sit down and we will study that together and strive to come to the proper conclusion based on God's Word. We're here to help one another, to teach one another, to encourage one another, not to break down or criticize or hurt or harm. An employee is a person who works for another person in return for salary or wages. And I would think that our topic this morning on the job affects the larger percentage of us here this very morning. Many people in our society are what we call employees. And as I've said, there are many here this very morning who I'm sure work for someone else. Or maybe you're on the other end. Maybe you are an employer. And almost every day of the week, we find ourselves on the job. And there's always some type of relationship between the employer and the employee, the boss and the one who's being bossed, the manager and the managee, if that's a word, the supervisor and the supervised. You realize the relationship that I'm talking about there. For several years, I worked in what many call the secular employment. As a restaurant manager, I was many times both the employee and the employer. I was the boss of others with hiring and firing power. But at the same time, I had those who were over me for whom I worked, and they had hiring and firing power over me. And so, you see, I'm very much associated or very familiar with this relationship that exists between an employer and an employee. And as we go to God's Word, as we go to the Bible, we find that it deals in many places with how that we should act or react in all the various different relationships which exist in our lives. In Ephesians chapter 5, Paul deals with the relationship between the husband and the wife, and the church and the Lord. In Ephesians 6 verses 1 to 4, Paul deals with the relationship that exists between the parent and the child, the brother and sister, the brother-in-law and sister-in-law, the master and the slave, the neighbor and his neighbor, and the list goes on and on about all the various different kinds and types of relationships that exist in the world in which we live. But what about this relationship between the employer and the employee? Do we have a word of God on that relationship? Does God give us some suggestions? Does God give us some commands to help us to better relate to our employee or to our employer? Certainly, there are guidelines in God's Word even for this relationship. Let's read Ephesians chapter 6, beginning in verse 5. The Apostle Paul says there, "Bondservants, be obedient to those who are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in sincerity of heart as to Christ. Not with eye service as men pleasers, but as bondservants of Christ, doing the will of God from his heart. With good will, doing service as to the Lord, and not to men, knowing that whatever good anyone does, he will receive the same from the Lord, whether he is slave or free. And you masters do the same things to them, giving up threatenings, knowing that your own master also is in heaven, and there is no partiality with him. Now the writing that Paul does here deals specifically with an issue of that day and a relationship of that day between one who is a master and one who is a slave, or one who was a bond servant. Now, in the first century, there were slaves who were slaves by compulsion. They were forced into that life. And then there were those who were types of bond servants or types of slaves on a voluntary level. And they, in that sense, it's almost in the sense of our worker-employee relationship today. And all of the words that the Apostle Paul writes in these verses, Ephesians 6, 5 to 9, will speak to the principles to help us to better know more about our relationship and how we are to relate to those who are our employers. And very quickly this morning, I want us to note three things, three powerful principles, three essential characteristics or attitudes that I believe must exist within the child of God that works in the world in secular employment. In the first place, a Christian who is on the job must be devoted. A Christian who is on the job must be devoted to his employer. You know, one of the things that I found is that loyalty and dependability is hard to find when it comes to hiring employees. In fact, one of the definite conclusions that I came to in all the many years that I worked in the fast food or the restaurant management business is that I would just about rather have someone who is loyal and devoted and dependable than someone who is an extremely hard and smart worker, but you never know when they're going to be there. You never know when they're going to be on time. When they're there, they're great workers. They're great employees. But you can't depend on them. You don't know if they're going to be there or not. You don't know if they're going to show up to punch the time clock and to do their job. If you are an employee, God, Christ, calls upon you to be devoted to your employer. In Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 5 here, Paul says, "Bondservants, be obedient to those who are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling and sincerity of heart as to Christ." In its sister passage over in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 22, Paul writes and says, "Bondservants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in sincerity of heart, fearing God." Over in 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 1, Paul writes to Timothy here and says, "Let as many bondservants as are under the yoke count their own masters worthy of all honor, so that the name of God and his doctrine may not be blasphemed." And then over in Titus chapter 2, in verses 9 and 10, Paul says, "Exhort bondservants to be obedient to their own masters, to be well-pleasing in all things, not answering back," not back talk, "not pilfering or stealing, but showing all good fidelity or faithfulness, that they may adorn the doctrine of God, our Savior, in all things." All these verses talk about the bondservant. We're sliding in the word employee in their relationship to their masters, and we're sliding in the word employer because the same principles apply. And the Bible talks about how we ought to honor our employer, how we ought to be obedient to our employer. And all of these words speak about devotion. And by hard, dependable work in the workplace while on the job, we reflect our devotion and our faithfulness not only to our employer, but also to the Lord. The Bible speaks here as to the Lord. Paul actually said, as we read in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 5 and 7, that whenever we are employed, we should act as if it were the Lord we were working for. When I go into that plant and clock in, I'm clocking in for the Lord. When I go down to the restaurant or wherever else I may be employed and get on the clock, I need to think about I'm working for the Lord. I need to work as if the Lord himself were there supervising my work. And I think if we'd all come to that realization and that frame of mind, we would be much more devoted to those who are our employers. And this should place a much higher standard on the quality of workers we're to be when we're on the job. Devotion on the job, for example, includes dependability. Not always calling in late, if your employer will even allow that. Not messing the job, not showing up or not showing up without calling in. I've known employees to do that. I've known employers who have put up with it. That is not dependability and it's not devotion. Faithfulness is one who can be counted on to follow the rules. One who will follow the guidelines on the job without backtalk or rebellion. Notice what he said there in Titus chapter 2, not talking back. Have you ever backtalked your boss? Have you ever sassed your employer? The Bible says don't do that. That's not a Christian attitude. That's no way to act when you're on the job. We ought to be obedient, not in rebellion. Remember again, Titus chapter 2 and verse 9 there, exhort bondservants to be obedient to their own masters, to be well-pleasing in all things, not answering back. I think about Genesis 24, verses 1 to 15. Abraham was in old age, and he wasn't long for the world. But he was concerned about his son Isaac and the wife that Isaac would have. And so Abraham took his servant and gave him directions to go back home, Abraham said, where I'm from, and to find Isaac a son. And he was specifically not to take Isaac with him. Even if he couldn't find Isaac, not a son, but a wife, he wasn't to come back and get Isaac and bring Isaac back because he feared Isaac would be connected to that land too closely, perhaps stay there, whatever the case may be. But I love what we find there in Genesis chapter 24. We see that this servant was evidently very interested in Abraham getting the thing that he wanted. He was so devoted. And then I want to read here in verse 10. The servant had traveled, he'd taken the camels, and he had traveled to the land. He's in search of a wife for Isaac. He's doing all this for Abraham, his master. In verse 10, then the servant took 10 of his master's camels and departed, for all his master's goods were in his hand. And he arose and went to Mesopotamia to the city of Nahor. And he made his camels kneel down outside the city by a well of water at evening time, the time when women go out and draw water. And then he said, look at here, O Lord God of my master Abraham, please give me success this day and show kindness to my master Abraham. Did you notice that? That was verse 12. You know what that servant did? He prayed, didn't he? Who'd he pray for? He prayed for his master, Abraham. Did it ever occur to you in your regular daily prayers to pray for your supervisor? Bring his name into the prayer and say, Lord, bless him. Or how about your boss, the owner of the establishment where you work? Did you ever think to pray for those individuals? I think if we pray for them, we're showing a great amount of devotion to them. Now, we ought to pray for all things, right? Certainly that would include our employer. Dependability, faithfulness, all this is part of devotion to our employer. Honesty. Remember what Paul wrote there in Titus chapter 2 in verse 10? Not pilfering or thieving, but showing all good fidelity or faithfulness or honesty. Now, as I was in a fast food restaurant management, and I was in different kinds over the years, sometimes I'd turn around and an employee's got a couple of fries he grabbed from the fry bin, he's eating on them. Or sometimes I would go back to the stock room and tucked back behind the piles of napkins would be a wrapped half of a hamburger that some employee had drugged back there while nobody was looking and ate on. Years ago, Johnny Cash came out with a song that became very popular. Name of the song, One Piece at a Time. Some of you may know that song. He worked in a Cadillac plant, a car plant. And the song describes how he snuck out one piece at a time across all these years, all these car parts, to where he finally could build him a car. It's a humorous song, but it illustrates something. It illustrates this idea of pilfering, stealing from your employer, taking that which is not yours. Oh, sometimes we have our justifications in our mind. Well, I work hard here and I don't get paid enough, so I ought to have some of this. I have a right to this because my employer isn't good to me. You don't have a right to it. It's not your property. You don't own it. You take it, you've stolen it. Employees are to be honest on the job. If they're going to be devoted to their employer, honesty is a must in every aspect of the life of a child of God. God has always hated stealing on any level, whether it's grand larceny or petty theft. Even to the children of Israel, he said, "Thou shalt not steal." In Ephesians 4:28, the Apostle Paul said, "Let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give him who has need." Those on the job need to be devoted. We need to display the highest level of dependability and integrity and honesty. And these verses, remember, talked about how by doing so we would adorn the doctrine of God. And so while on the job, Christians should be devoted. But not just devoted. Number two, Christians should be diligent. You know, there's nothing more frustrating than a lazy employee. I remember years ago I was managing a Hardee's restaurant in Lawrenceburg, Tennessee. And there was a young man who worked for me. And I wouldn't no more get my back turned from him, but he's went back and sat down on a crate in the back room. And I don't know how many times we're right in the middle of a rush and the food's not getting out fast enough, and so I'm going back to the kitchen to see what the problem is, and he's nowhere to be found. He's sitting back there on that crate. Not a Christian. Not a child of God. You ought to be ashamed of yourself. If you're acting like that in the workplace, your boss ought to talk to others about what a hard worker you are. You ought to be the one that the boss likes to use an example of somebody who comes there and does their job. Remember, when we're there, we're Christians, we're children of God. We are reflecting Christ in our lives. The Christian who is on the job must be diligent. Going back to Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 6, our passage. Paul says, "Not with eye service as men pleasers, but as bondservants of Christ doing the will of God from the heart." You know what that means? Not with eye service as men pleasers. You know what that means? When the boss is standing there, the guy's real busy doing his job. But when the boss goes back to another part of the plant or another part of the restaurant, the guy stands around, he goofs off. Listen, I've rounded that corner up on the front line before in restaurants and caught employees sitting up on the counter there. Not a Christian. Not as men pleasers. In other words, don't just work when the boss is around. Work when the boss isn't around, being mindful that Christ is there. And he's seeing you and he knows. I've said for many years, people who go in and they clock in and they lounge around and they don't do their job, and when the boss is out of view or out of sight, they're not working. You know what they're doing? In my mind, they're stealing from the company. Because that company is paying them to be working, not to be standing around talking. Colossians chapter 3, verses 22 and 23, Paul says, "Bondservants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh." There it is again. "Not with eye service as men pleasers, but in sincerity of heart, fearing God. And whatever you do, do it heartily, as to the Lord and not to men." You work in your workplace as if you're working for the Lord instead of men. That's what he says there. Again, Titus chapter 2 and verse 9 reiterates the same thing. Diligence is a shining characteristic in any relationship. Diligence and hard work. And not only should an employee be dependable and trustworthy, he needs to be a hard worker. I've had employees who could do the job of three people. And I've had employees who make me wonder why they're ever issued a paycheck. But which ones are Christians? I know of a college in a certain place, and there was a lot of Christians who attend this college, and a lot of them would attend a certain church. And there was a man who owned a business in that town who actually called the church every year and asked the preacher, "Do you have any young men that need work? Have any young ladies that need a job?" You see, they're Christians and they've went there and they've worked hard and they were dependable and they were honest. And this man, that's what he was looking for. You know what they did? They adorned the doctrine of God. They gave the Lord's church a good name in that place, simply by being good, hard, honest, decent workers in the workplace. And the other end of that is giving the Lord a bad name. To be diligent, one must be a learner. Take the time to learn what your job is. Be interested. Figure out how you can perform it the best. Be observant. Take criticism well. Learn from your mistakes. Don't be a know-it-all. I've had the pleasure of working with a lot of teenagers, and it's not just teenagers, but a lot of these teenagers tended to be a know-it-all. You know what a know-it-all is? A know-it-all is an individual who knows nothing, but feels as if he knows everything. Do you know what you can do with that individual? You know what you can teach him? Nothing. You can't teach him a thing. How are you going to teach somebody something when they already think they know it all? That's why we call them a know-it-all. And you start trying to explain to them, "Oh, I know. Well, let me show you how. Oh, I know, I know." I've got that a lot. And then the burgers are messed up, the fries are messed up, the car parts are messed up, the computer's messed up. Everything's messed up because some know-it-alls got in there and wouldn't be taught anything. What a shame. You know, I think of 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 18. Paul made a very interesting statement there, and I pondered this statement often over the years. Paul says, "Let no one deceive himself. If anyone among you," and look at this statement, very curious, "if anyone among you seems to be wise in this age, let him," who? Him, the one who seems to be wise, "let him become a fool that he may become wise." Does that make sense? Become a fool that you may become wise. What is Paul saying? He's saying you act like you don't know anything so that you might learn something. What Paul is saying is realize that there are a lot of things you don't know. And after realizing that, set out to learn. It's important to listen to your employers. A Christian who is on the job must be devoted. A Christian who is on the job must be diligent. Number three, very quickly. A Christian who is on the job, I think, must be delighted. Delighted. Ephesians chapter 6, back to our passage, this time verse 7. "With good will doing service as to the Lord and not to men. Knowing that whatever good anyone does, he will receive the same from the Lord, whether he is a slave or free." With good will. Over in the book of Colossians chapter 3 and verse 24. "Knowing that from the Lord you receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ." Verse 23. "And whatever you do, do it heartily." Do it with good will. Ever complain about your job? "All the working conditions are terrible down there. And my boss is always nagging at me. And I work harder than anybody else down there. And this fellow here right next to me, I know he makes $3 an hour more than I do. And I work twice as hard as he does." You ever catch yourself complaining? Too much overtime. You ever catch yourself complaining about your job? Are you thankful for what you have? You have any idea how many people in this nation are out of work? I'm not talking about the lazy people who don't care to work. I'm talking about people who have families and people who need a job and can't get one because they're so scarce. My wife and I moved here from just about the most unemployed county in Tennessee. It would fluctuate. Sometimes it'd be number one, sometimes number five, sometimes number three. And we knew a lot of people who needed a job, and they didn't have a job. They would have taken a job digging ditches. And we complain about our work. God has blessed us with that work. One day I heard some people complaining about the hours they had to work. I've heard people complain about the working conditions. Complain about others that don't work well. They complain about their pay rate. They spend more time complaining than they do working. But if we put ourselves in proper perspective according to these passages and view ourselves as working not as to man but as to the Lord, we're working for the Lord, then we are really rifling those complaints directly to the ear of the Lord. At least you're not a slave like these people, the direct application of these passages. Think about slavery as it once existed in this country. Think about those children of Israel back in the Old Testament, Exodus chapter 8, or chapter 1, verses 8 to 14. You remember how bad the working conditions was for them? And then it only got worse. Exodus 5, 5 to 19. All these verses describe how bad it was and then how it got worse. It got to where their employer wasn't even providing for them the things they needed to make the brick. They had to go out and gather up the stubble. And then on top of that, they were expected to produce more than they were producing. You're talking about rough working conditions. Oh, we should be thankful for what we have. We are so blessed in this nation. We are so blessed. Even if we don't have the best job, even if we maybe would prefer to have a different job or a better job, don't ever forget how blessed we are and the things that we have because of the graciousness of God. Remember, when you complain against your work and you complain against your employer, you're complaining against God. This relationship that exists on the job. A lot of Christians work in the world on the job. Have relationships with their employers and or their employees. And I believe there are principles laid out for us that we have discussed this morning that should serve to regulate those relationships between the boss and the worker, both sides of that relationship. And I believe that children of God who are on the job should be devoted. Be devoted to your employer. Be a good worker, hard worker, dependable worker, honest worker. We should be diligent, not lazy, not slothful, but we ought to be the one the boss uses as an example for a hardworking individual. And I believe we ought to be delighted. Thankful that we have what we have. Thankful that God has provided for us a means by which we may provide for those we love and to help others who are in need. Let's pray.